City Commission meeting of the City of Winter Park. If you all would remember to turn off your cells, that would be helpful. We have Wes Hamel, who will be leading us in our invocation as well. If you'll remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we come before you mindful of your goodness and mercy, the blessings of, from your mighty hand. Thank you for the country that we live in, freedoms that we enjoy, for this community we get to live in and serve. And just ask for your special wisdom for each of us, that everything that is done would be in the interest of the public's trust. We would be good stewards of the resources you blessed us with. And we just ask your blessings upon all that is done and said. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Randy, I know there's one change. We are, folks, removing 11A from this agenda. Any other changes, Randy?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. I'll look for a motion to approve.
I would like to make a motion that we remove 10A and give us and the public just a little time to think about the Lawrence Center parking garage before it's immediately on the agenda.
Well, I'm not going to... That's been on the agenda now for since this agenda was published, so I'm not going to hear that. Okay, so Randy, the agenda with 11A moved.
And I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Thank you. Okay. Sorry, folks. Citizen budget comments. Randy, we're going to get to this now.
Well, it's on the agenda for now. You can move that to down at the 5 o'clock hour if you'd
like. Yeah, I'd like to move that if you wouldn't mind. Unless anybody has any objections to that. Other than that, no mayor's report, city manager's report, Randy?
All right, a few items. We're going to start with a video from our 4th of July event, a short video to highlight the fun that was had in the park.
Thank you.
thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners, for allowing us to do that event every year. And that's, you know, it's part of this budget process that you're doing now that makes that event possible. So.
I heard it was well attended. So.
It was very well attended, you know, and a lot of positive comments. We've changed some things up this year, had different entertainment than the past, and I thought it was well received. So,
thank you.
A couple things before I do start the budget presentation, but you can go ahead and queue up my budget presentation, please. We still do event on Saturday, the 14th at 10 a.m. to noon. That's the last event to take place in our Civic Center. So that's coming up this coming Saturday. All are welcome, but those that have had a special ceremony, such as a wedding or reception there, we're going to do a giant renewal of vows. Vows. And I'm going to be conducting that, so there's no telling what will happen at the end of that. So
vows. Poor consonants.
You can buy a vowel. But,
all right, Vanna, go ahead.
You have at your place the hurricane booklet that we put together for this year. We've got those available outside for the residents and downstairs in the lobby, and we'll be putting some of those at the library and other public buildings. But it's very specific to Winter Park. And so this came out of our after action report last year. And so this is our first shot at this. I think you'll be pleased with that document. So
great. Thank you, Randy.
And just one other thing, a point of privilege to say thank you to Dory. I hope she's in here. Yep, Dory's in here. This is her last meeting, as she mentioned at the end of the CRA, but I just want to thank her for all the hard work and great leadership of that department over the last several years, and we're going to miss her deeply. So. So if you cut her budget tonight, she won't even care.
Let the record show Jeff was the first one to stand for her, please.
Go ahead, Randy. All right, so it is my privilege to present to you the fiscal year 19 budget of the city of Winter Park. Overall, it's $172.5 million budget. It includes all the funds of the city. The general fund, which is what you traditionally think of as governmental services, is about a $57.5 million budget. This is the 11th straight year that the millage rate has remained the same. We'll be talking a little bit more about that in a minute. And it has a five-year capital plan that is fully fundable. It moves us towards the general fund reserve goal that the commission has of 30% by adding, as proposed, $741,000 in this budget towards reserves. There's $345,000 in there for organizational support. We'll talk a little bit more about that. It meets our goal of 45 days of working capital for both the electric and water and sewer utility, and maintains all the city services at their current levels or at an expanded level. Has a performance-based pay raise for the employees of up to 3.5%. The property tax values, the taxable value of city properties, went up 8.6% this year. Overall general fund revenues are up $3.7 million. We're going to get into some of those details in a moment. The TIF revenue for the CRA is up 13%, and we're projecting a flat level of consumption within the electric utility. This is just a breakdown of all the funds. So you can see that in the red there are the two enterprise funds, the electric utility and the water and sewer utility. That's about half of the citywide budget. The next biggest being the general fund, which is about a third of the citywide budget. And the rest is spread around amongst the internal service funds, the debt service funds, the special revenue, which is the CRA and the stormwater utility, and then capital projects. And this is a breakdown of how the money is spent within the general fund. You can see approximately 48.5% of the entire budget is on public safety, with the next two biggest departments being public works and parks that make up another 30%. So well over three-fourths of the budget is those four major departments, which is the real visual things that the community sees every day. And then the remainder is a lot of the behind-the-scenes type of thing, plus the capital projects and the debt service and the organizational support and that type of thing, general administration. And then this is where the money comes from for the city. So you can see the single largest component of the general fund money is property taxes at just under 40%, with the next largest being intergovernmental revenues, which is your sales tax, your local option gas tax, and those revenues that go to the state and flow back to the city. And then you can see the other charges for services includes things such as ambulance transport fees, the parks and recreation type fees, and that type of thing, the refuse, the garbage collection, the revenue from that.
Brandon, did you factor in the homestead on the general fund?
We're going to talk about that, but that will not hit us in fiscal year 19. That will hit us in fiscal year 20, if approved in November. So of the growth in the general fund, this is how the growth is proposed to be spent within my budget. So this is not how much we're spending in each of these areas. This is of the growth in the revenue in the general fund and how that was allocated. The green one really is an accounting thing, and it's a way that, like the tennis center was completely outsourced before, and now we've brought that back, the management of that back in-house. So you're seeing both the revenues and the expenses within the general fund. It's showing as an increase in our overall revenues, but really it's offset by the expenses to run the tennis center. And same thing with the waste compactor. We're now billing for some of the commercial compactors that Waste Pro services, but so it's showing up as a revenue and a pass-through expense to Waste Pro. So that's really not true growth in the general fund. But you can see that the growth in personnel costs, about a tenth of our overall growth in revenue is going towards personnel, 38% towards operations of the general fund, and then $540,000 or 15% is going to either the CRA or towards capital projects. And then that last 18% we've put into contingency. And the reason we put that much into contingency is because of what the mayor mentioned, which is the if the extra homestead exemption passes in November, that's going to be roughly a $750,000 hit to the city in the next year. So we've built in a bigger contingency this year just to kind of get us ready for the eventuality of that and smoothing that.
Randy, I saw something about taxing internet sales.
Yes.
Do we know how that will ultimately flow to us?
We don't. I've not seen any report on how that would impact us. It could be huge. State of Florida is one of those states that has a sales tax, and currently when people purchase things over the internet, they were not paying that. With that Supreme Court ruling, we expect that to generate additional sales tax, and we should get our share of that.
Let me interrupt for a second, because it's a good point. Mr. Ardman, would you be willing, with the approval of the commission, obviously, to stay on top of what the state's actions are regarding, you know, what the state legislature has to do in order to start collecting those taxes? I'm sure there's going to be some initiative to
sure.
do it.
Glad to.
So that we can be on top of it, nods and that kind of thing?
I have nod, but I think I'd rather have that go through the city manager.
Okay.
Finance director. I'm happy to help, but
okay.
Either way.
I thought there might be a legislative issue.
It's probably both.
Yeah. We'll stay on top of that.
Yeah,
I think it's a good question.
This graph shows you the history of the increases and decreases in taxable value in the city going back to 2004. And the interesting part about this, well, interesting to me, I'm a CPA, the rest of you may fall asleep, but back before the recession, you can see we were growing these 10% plus type of taxable value every year. And then we had the dual whammy that happened back in the, 2009. We had not only the economy tank, but we had two types of tax reform at the state level. One was a voted on by the residents, which was the additional 25,000 homestead exemption back then, and the other one was a tax reform that the legislature adopted that forced us to reduce our millage rate by 9% and some other things that went along with that within the, how you could charge your taxes. So we had a series of very low growth or declining revenues there for 5 years. And then we came out of the recession and, you know, we recovered well. But now you've got some changes to the structure that we don't expect to see the type of growth we had in the early 2000s, because now you not only have the 3% Save Our Homes cap on homesteaded property, you have a 10% cap on commercial and all non-homesteaded properties, and you've got the portability of the Save Our Homes that didn't exist back then. So we believe the new norm is more in this 4-6% range. We've had several good years as Winter Park has recovered faster than some of our neighbors.
Is that new construction plus existing, or is that?
This would include new construction. And so, you know, the point of this is we won't see those double figure in growth in the future, unless it would really take a lot of new construction to get you up there with the caps that exist. So every time a property changes hands, it can be readjusted to its market value if that person's not porting in Save Our Homes from the previous property. But other than that, the growth is capped, you know, by these different tax reform matters. We've talked about this last year, but this is those major revenue sources of the general fund and a display of what we really have control over. And the ones that we don't control, you know, the one in purple, you know, is a sales tax, revenue sharing. Those are those intergovernmental revenues we talked about. We have no control over those. To some degree, investments, we do control what we invest in, but we're very limited what we can invest in. Franchise and fees and utility taxes, we control, but we are already at the max on all of those. We have a 10% utility tax, a 6% franchise fee, and those are at the max. So you could lower them, but you can't raise them. And then the two that are kind of the salmon color, you know, the property taxes and the building permits and all that type of thing, we control those, but there's restrictions on what we can do by the legislature. So they're very little that the city actually controls. We do control those that are in the blue, which is our recreation fees and those type of things. But then you're still limited by you charge too much and nobody pays you. So, you know, so it's a market-driven basis there. So these are some of the notable items within this budget. There's $16.9 million in capital projects citywide. It does expand undergrounding, or leaves it at the level you put it at this current year, I should say, at $3,925,000. As you recall, we're at $3.5 million. We took the $425,000 of street lighting and moved that back to the general fund, which freed up about $425,000 here. So those two combined is $3,925,000. This budget continues at that pace as proposed. There's improvements to the Dinky Dock Park, Azalea Lane Playground, and our athletic facilities. And there's water and sewer capital that we normally do, plus I-4 Ultimate. There's a significant capital project with Iron Bridge that's part of this budget. $750,000 in CRA funds to continue the 1792 PD&E, and we'll be talking more about that at the meeting Dory was talking about earlier today. And we've included in this a equipment replacement for those fire safety equipment, which is sort of like we do the vehicles and that type of thing. We're setting money aside on an annual basis, so when we come to a year where all of the, you know, life packs have to be replaced in the fire department, we're not having to find money for it. We've set money aside and smoothed this over time, so we've begun that in this budget. We set aside 20% of the new growth for the contingency I mentioned earlier. That's about $741,000. That includes the amount we're building up to deal with commuter rail when that comes at us in about 3 years.
Three years. Boy, it came fast.
Yeah, it does come fast. We put some money in there to promote the arts and culture. This is the committee that you put Clarissa in charge of. They're doing some great things. We're giving them a little bit of money to help with promotions this year. We have added some additional building inspectors and permit clerks because of the volume of permitting activity that is coming out of the restricted portion of the building permit fees. It can only be spent for that purpose. And then we have reduced the size of the city's fleet by 10 vehicles in this budget, and upgrade to the police equipment. A few other notable items: we continue to fund the library at the level they need to operate. I will say that it continues to be at a level less than it would cost if we were part of the Orange County system and had to pay that operating millage rate. So the library continues to do a great job keeping their costs under control and for the benefit of our citizens. We created a new aquatics division to deal with the two swimming pools. We brought the KDOA one back in last year to city operations. So we've moved some people around to create an aquatics division. Done some restructuring in the police department with existing personnel. This is not extra people. And I mentioned earlier that we brought the tennis center operations back in-house, and so there's people to do that and cost to do that, but it comes in line, and we believe we'll have a better product as a result. We were having complaints with maintenance issues under the former process. This will bring that back into our control. We have money in the budget to plant 600 new trees. As I mentioned, this is the 11th straight year with operating millage of 4.0923, and you can see the blue bars represent the taxable value of property as it went down through the early 2010-12 range, and then started moving back up in the last 5 years. And this is a comparative, shows our comparison to the other entities in Orange County. We have the fourth lowest millage rate, and that's including our debt service millage. That only we and Maitland have a debt service millage that gets charged or voted on by the taxpayers. And then the little red bar is their Orange County Library operating millage that all of they have to pay that we do not. But so we're still the fourth lowest in Orange County. Now, this does not factor in whatever they might be proposing in their budgets this year, because we don't know what they're proposing yet. We won't know that till the end of July.
Do we fall under unincorporated if we remove that, the green?
Yeah, if you remove the debt service millage, we would be, I believe we'd be the second lowest. Is that right, Peter?
I will verify, but I believe you're correct.
Yeah.
Cool.
And this is at your next meeting, you'll be asked to adopt a tentative millage rate. As the budget is proposed at the 4.0923, that is staff's recommendation, but the what they call the rollback rate, which is the rate you would charge to generate the exact same amount of property taxes as the previous year, that would be the 3.8456. You can go up to 5.6372 with the majority vote of the commission, and you can see what a supermajority and unanimous you could do, but certainly we're not asking you to do that. Whatever you adopt, but as you recall, whatever you adopt as your tentative millage at this next meeting is what would go out in the trim notice to all the taxpayers. And you can lower it from that, but it's very difficult to raise it from that. You have to do a super notice and all this type of thing if you were going to raise it after that. This is a graph of our undesignated, unassigned general fund balance. You have a goal of being at 30%. This takes us to 12.8 million, which I believe is just over 23%. Peter, is it?
Yes.
And that's based on that contingency, not using the contingency, and assuming that would roll back into fund balance at the end of the year. Some of the major capital projects in here that in the electric utility between the undergrounding and the routine capital is about 4.7 million, 3.8 million in water and sewer, plus 2.5 million in the Iron Bridge. Iron Bridge is the regional sewer facility that Orlando operates, but we're a member of, and we're responsible for a component of the capital upgrades there. We got 1.1 million in there for road, sidewalks, pipe, passing curbs, $1 million for parks improvements, $750,000 for the 1792 streetscape, and $700,000 for the I-4 Ultimate work. $500,000 in stormwater enhancements, and you can see the ones rounding it out there. So you have a policy that 1/4 of 1% of the three major operating funds you will spend on organizational support funding over and above the library. And in your left-hand column, the $317,000 is how you allocated that money last year. I have those funded at the same level in this proposed budget, which leaves about $29,000 roughly of additional money you could allocate within that funding policy. You do have a request from the Blue Bamboo organization for $40,000 if the commission chooses to allocate any of that available for that or for whatever purpose is the pleasure of the commission. And then out of the CRA, these are the entities that are funded, and we do have an additional $10,000 in there. You do have a request of the CRA from the Depew Nursing Home for $10,000.
I believe it's 20.
Or 20,000. Yeah, 20,000. I see Kyle shaking his head. Yes. So that is not funded in this at this point, but there's certainly enough money within the CRA if the commission chooses to fund that organization, or the CRA agency in that case chooses to fund it. It was going to be the last time Dory got to yell at me, because every time I say the wrong entity, she yells at me. So, and then a little bit about the proposed homestead exemption. It is on the November ballot. It'll take 60% of the voters to approve it. The last time we had one of these, it passed by well over 60%. So it would go into effect for our budget year, fiscal year 2020. About 62% of the residential properties are homesteaded in the city, and about 6,800 parcels would receive a portion of or all of that 25,000 additional homestead exemption, and it would be somewhere in the $700,000 to $750,000 hit to the taxes if approved. The CRA project funding, as we talked about earlier today, and we'll be talking about more at the work session on July 23rd, there's 9 years left of the CRA, and we have about $26 million in uncommitted funds spread over those 9 years. We do have a 1792 project funded within the proposed budget, but the rest of that's available then to be allocated, and that's what we'll be talking about next meeting. And you can see this is how the money is expected to flow in. This is the unallocated money coming in over those years. The reason there's such a big jump between 26 and 27 is we pay our last debt service payment in 2026. So 2027, there's no debt service payment. So that's why you'll see $5 million coming in that last year.
Is that the community center?
So it's all the different things. We did several different bond issues over the years. This community center's one
all
of them.
Ending.
Yep, they're all ending at the same time. Within the proposed budget is a 1.5% proposed rate increase in electric utility. And part of, we talked about this last year, but this is a good graphic to show you. On the left is our cost structure. And our fixed costs are those items in blue. And the variable costs are those items in red. On the right is our rate structure. And you can see only about 8% of our rates are recovered through the fixed charges, and 92% is through the variable charges. So we have this mismatch of how our rates are structured versus how our actual costs are. So, and where this has really become evident in the last 5 years is with conservation really taking hold, both, you know, people's actual efforts to conserve, but also everything you install, your new air conditioner, your new lighting, your new hot water heater, everything is way more efficient than they were before. And so we're seeing flat or declining consumption, even though we've got redevelopment taking place and growth in facilities. And so as we started last year, we're proposing that we shift more of our cost recovery on the rate side into the fixed cost component of the bill and less in the variable component, so that when you have weather anomalies, either up or down, or you have more and more conservation, more and more solar going on to houses, those types of things, we still have to provide the fixed cost and we have to recover those. So in this budget, I should go to the slide instead of, so in this budget, I propose a 10% base rate increase and a 1% variable rate increase, but that comes out to a 1.5% increase on the bill, you know, for the average customer. So that's proposed in the budget. And then this is a graph showing how we compare to the other utilities in the area. Winter Park is the dashed line. The green line is the investor-owned utility average in the state. You see OUC is the orange line, which is lower than Winter Park's rates. The red is the Florida municipal average. And purple is the statewide average. And then the blue is Duke Energy, which is the entity we replaced when we acquired the system. So this is the schedule. Today's the presentation. July 23rd, you'll be setting the tentative millage rate. And we have the CRA budget work session prior to that meeting. And then we'll receive budget input in all of our meetings from now through adoption in September 24th. The two ordinances and public hearings will be September 10th and September 24th. With that, I'd be glad to answer any questions. I'd be glad to know if you want a work session anytime between now and September, or we can try to just schedule some time within the meetings to have budget discussion, depending on the length of those meetings. So,
what are the books out, Randy?
The books are electronically available to you now. You should have gotten an email from Peter on Thursday or Friday. It has a link to those. If you want a hard copy, let us know and we'll provide you a hard copy.
Awesome.
So at three, yeah, for hard, three. Three, four hard copies. Okay, we'll take care of that.
Thank you. Commission, what say you, work session? I'm up for one if you'd like to.
Wait,
anybody else?
What's the 23rd?
It's a CRA budget work session.
Could you put the schedule back up, Randy?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
23rd is the CRA budget work session, so August 13th or the 27th would be available for a regular budget work session if you want to do it on the day of a commission meeting, which seems to work better for most people's schedules.
I'm happy to do it. I think one of the good chances we have to communicate with each other is before the, you know, we're going to be submitting our comments to you, and they'll be shared with the other commission members,
right,
among commission members before the 23rd.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's a good, you know, that's a good starting point to understand where we are. And I'm happy to do a work session after that if others are on a, you know.
After the 23rd, Commissioner?
Yeah.
So let's see where we end up.
Yeah.
Let's see where we end up on the 23rd, and maybe we'll schedule something after that. Is that okay?
Yeah. Just a note, I'm not going to be here for the meeting of the 27th, so the 13th would be the right meeting for me to do that, but that's just my circumstances.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind tentatively scheduling the 13th. That works for others.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yeah.
Certainly.
Wouldn't it be reasonable to have a discussion before we set the tentative millage rate?
I mean, you can't, I mean,
like,
will
that be a reasonable thing to do before we have a meeting and decide in 15 minutes what's going on in the millage rate?
Well,
I mean, seriously, because I know there's things that you'd like to get done on the millage rate last time. We had a lot of conversations.
Right.
But it all happens quickly. And when we set the tentative millage rate,
it would get it
starting a little bit sooner, I guess, is what I'm getting at also.
Well, the millage rate, isn't really the same thing as a budget discussion.
Well, we could pay for the electric underground if we get a majority vote in 1 year.
Dan, are you here?
No.
I saw that 10% added $30 million to our budget, right, Randy?
Well,
I'm kidding.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm happy to discuss it. I'm happy to have another work session on the 13th before the CRA one, if you want to talk about the millage rate at that point in time.
So, I just, for me, it's just a matter of, you know,
We're looking for proposals, folks.
Yeah, there doesn't seem a big need to increase the millage rate right now. You know what I mean? But it just seems like, as a process, there may be some times in the future where it is. And the kind of us having this process where we, Randy presents a budget, 2 weeks later we decide if we're going to raise the millage rate or not. And that's the decision we're making in 2 weeks. And we're not even having any discussions about what's in
you the said budget. Raise.
Right. I'm not, right, in the future, if there's, like, because it gets so low that Randy can't pay his staff anymore, we want to keep Randy's staff.
Well, I think
Randy.
We have to look at the valuations as well as the millage rate.
So I think this is an ongoing discussion. I don't think, I've not.
I'm just talking about a getting the process in yeah. a better process in place.
That's and we're dealing with $6.8 million, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But Greg, when would you see doing this if we were? I do appreciate what you're saying. For me to consider a change in the millage rate, I would need some data in front of me to have had time to digest. And I'm happy to do that. I'm trying to figure out when we would do that if we're going to set the millage rate on the 23rd. That's not a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. Right, yeah. That's what I'm saying. We're giving.
So hang on, folks. Commissioner, if you'd like to propose.
I'm not necessarily proposing it for right now. I'm just talking about process, that in the future, I don't see it as an issue this time.
Okay.
But in the future, there may be an issue. And is our process set like this? Because legally, this is how it has to be set. He presents the budget. 2 weeks later, we decided for voting on a millage rate, which
statutory requirements are met.
From departments.
But legally, yes, you have to adopt the millage
before
August 4th. Tentative,
which is before even knowing what's really in the budget. That's what I'm kind of getting at.
Oh, the budget.
We know what's in the budget.
The budget is there.
It's
the
it.
Budget is available.
The full document's been on the website since Friday.
Friday.
I do appreciate the feeling that we often move unnecessarily quickly, and maybe there is a way to have a little more opportunity to look at this. I just can't figure out where this time we could do that.
I'm not saying this time. I'm just asking you guys to be thinking about that, because that's what kind of happens here.
Okay, so there's an opportunity next year. Let's move on, folks.
You want to move on? Right.
I think we have the 13th. Was it the 13th that we were talking potentially to have it prior to? If that's okay.
So we now have a work session the 13th and the 27th, the 23rd of July and the 13th of August.
Correct.
Yes. Okay, and that's tentative on the 13th. We can also decide on the 23rd whether we want to continue that or not.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is that 2:30?
An hour, good for y'all?
Maybe an hour and a half might be good for that.
Okay, I'm happy to go to 2. Good. Any questions for the city manager on the budget or any other items?
This time.
Thank you. Mr. City Attorney.
Yes, Mayor.
Randy, thank you for the work. And I know there's plenty of time in the future to talk about it, but thank you, staff, too. I know we know and we appreciate all that goes into this, so thank you.
Very much.
Kurt.
Just one item, Mayor, Commissioners. Tomorrow you're going to have a discussion led by Dory Snowden on mixed use. I've got a short, very brief outline of some of the legal issues and standards that apply to comprehensive plan, land development, regulation, zoning, just for your perusal and use. I will not be here. Dan Langley will be here to answer any legal questions, but unless there's anything you need beforehand or during, it's probably Dory's... it's going to be her show.
I would love a clear understanding of overlays versus zoning districts.
Good question.
Sure.
Doesn't have to be today, but real soon.
But it'll be for tomorrow.
It should be for tomorrow.
Good.
I think I raised that.
Any other questions for the city attorney?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't know if I'm even using it. I don't think I am.
Are you? Do we have Wes or a city manager for the item 7A? Am I on the right? I'm telling you, this Novus agenda thing is still throwing me off.
Financial.
Wes, are you up?
I think so.
Okay, it says city manager.
It does indeed. It
doesn't say it in Novus.
Fiscal stewardship.
Yes, it does. It's a city manager.
Oh, it does. Approved by city manager. Yeah.
I've got some highlights for you for our report to May. First is permit revenues are still very strong. This is 8 months, and we are well over budget. our revenues are about, even the part under 50,000 is already about 50,000, our unrestricted permanent revenues, I'm sorry, are about $70,000 over budget, the annual budget already at May 31.
When you say over budget, you mean a surplus?
Correct. Correct.
Just want to make sure we have the language correct.
Positive budget variance.
Thank you.
Seven months of sales tax data, half cent sales tax, very strong. We're about $300,000 ahead of the 7 months worth of budgeted revenues. Golf course is looking good. We're about $75,000 ahead of our 8 month budget there for golf course revenues.
If you look at the amortization of the investment that we made, what happens then to that number?
How many years do you want to amortize?
Yeah.
I didn't even know we did that.
I assume it's a capital investment. What is the length of its life?
We don't do it.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the estimated useful life is on that.
Does the investment just become invisible?
It's not part of those expenses.
Because it's not an enterprise fund, and the accounting for in the governmental fund wouldn't treat it that way.
Just curious.
What show up as an expense?
Over 20 years would be about $45,000 a year.
Yeah. $50,000 a year.
Yeah. Versus a $250,000 loss per year.
Right.
Oh, no, I get it. I just was curious. What happens to that? Yeah.
Okay. Golf course is still looking very good for first 8 months into the year. Investment earnings is kind of a sore spot for the financial picture. You know, I'm just really making a really rough guess that we'll be $500,000 under budget there. I put this table in to kind of show how the change in market value impacts the total investment earnings. The top line is just interest income, and that shows that's pretty stable. Rates have been low, so we haven't earned a lot. The rates are coming up, so we're earning a little more on our investments right now than we were. But if you take a look at the change in market value, 2013 was a very rough year for market values, and then they came back for a few years, and then we're now going through some more of a downtime there. But it should all wash out in the end for the most part.
It will.
Right.
Not sure.
Assuming, right, if we hold to maturity, it does wash out in the end. Water and sewer fund, looking strong. We have the net increase there in the bottom, the $1.1 million. That's mostly because we're projected to spend some money on things like I-4 Ultimate. But overall, we're doing very well in the water and sewer fund, good strong debt service coverage. We have good reserves there. As you'll note in the proposed budget, we'll be spending a few million dollars of those reserves over the next few years, as Randy noted, on things like Iron Bridge, I-4 Ultimate.
Wes, I had a quick question on the water. Is there conservation going on in the water as much as there is in the electric?
Not to the same extent, I don't think. It's a little harder to notice because water sales do tend to bounce around more, and you don't
much
have quite a constant.
On weather.
Yeah,
when we have all these rainy afternoons, irrigation revenues are way down.
Except for my
I
neighbor.
Would assume people are cutting back on their watering, the rain that we've been getting.
Well, plus all the appliances you buy now are so different than when they, and you don't change the pipes too much, do you?
Yeah, but you're getting, low flow shower heads and toilets and that type of thing, but the amount of your water that's where it goes is pretty minor.
Yeah.
Right. Irrigation's the big use of water. Electric, our kilowatt hour sales, that's on the next slide. All right, kilowatt hour sales have been dropping off. These nice thunder showers that we've been getting have been cooling off things in the heat of the day, and that's a good thing, but it's also not so good for selling electricity. So our kilowatt hour sales have dropped back some. You know, it's looking more like we're going to hit our $420 million kilowatt hour target. Most of the other variances are projected to be positive. We have, and we are projecting very close to a break-even year, maybe add a little bit. Debt service coverage, strong, 2.46%. So the electric fund is looking good. We're projecting, you'll notice that top line, we're on track, prorated out. We would spend a little more than our $3,925,000 on undergrounding. I know we've already got 4 miles underground, so we're well on way on track to meet our 5 mile target.
Well done.
And that's the end of the highlights.
Mr. Well, yes. Wes, if you take the projections for 2018 forward to the end of, well, obviously, the September 30th projections, what is our current budgeted general fund surplus, and given the positive performance so far and your projections through the last 3 months of the fiscal year, what do you think the actual general fund reserves might be as of 9/30?
Well, versus I think you know, we sold the bowling alley property, so that's over $2 million add to fund balance right there. But if you look at our other revenues, that's about $350,000 positive variance in total, if you take into account, you know, permit res, half cent sales tax, and subtract, I guess, on the loss on investment earnings, it's about $350,000. So we're going to be very close to what Randy mentioned, around $12.8 million. We should be.
But I'm interested in the surplus versus budget and the components of that. $2 million is the
bowling alley property.
Is the bowling, $2.2 million or something is the bowling alley
right.
property. And then we expect another $350
right.
over budget. And then what was the original budgeted general fund reserve for fiscal year 18? I don't recall.
It was low because we used a contingency up.
That's right. Peter mentioned about $87,000.
$87,000. So we're looking at an actual about maybe $450.
Right.
Not including the bowling alley sale?
Correct.
So that like runs through to. That's money that is that spent in the 19 budget or
no.
Okay. So that's an incremental surplus that we might expect in 19.
Correct.
Very good question.
Right. To the extent we don't spend all departmental budgets, that will add to the fund balance as well.
Got it. Thank you.
Very good question, Peter. No, I don't. Thank you.
Nope. Good. Wes, thank you. Appreciate that.
Good job.
Thanks, Wes.
Okay. We have, we'll take citizen comments as well as regarding budget closer to the 5 o'clock hour consent agenda. Folks, what say you?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. We will open up the floor to public comment. Anybody wish to address the commission on item 9, A, B, C, and D? Now is your time. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Cindy, 5-0. Item 10A, Dory, welcome back.
Thank you. Oh, if you would indulge me for just a second, I would like to say what a pleasure it has been to work with you and all of you throughout these last few years. My time here at Winter Park has been marvelous, and I have worked with an excellent manager and an excellent management team, and of my 33 years, I chalk this up as the best, and I really do appreciate this, and thank you very,
thanks,
very
Dory.
Much. I much appreciate that. So let's get down to business, shall we?
Please.
You all spent some time at your CRA agency meeting talking about funding for a potential parking garage in partnership with Rollins College. As you all know, and the community knows, that Rollins did send out a citywide notice for their Lawrence Center project, including the art gallery and so forth. They pulled back on that, and in order to let the community know about the city's participation, I am asking the City Commission for permission to send out a revised citywide notice on our dime with a profile of both a five-level and a six-level garage to make sure that we have done proper notice before you all take any action. So tonight is, there's no action planned on this other than I would like your permission to be able to notice this appropriately as our code and comp plan requires to include a five-level and six-level profile. So.
Okay. Do we need an official motion, Mr. City Manager, or three nods okay for you?
Three nods.
Great. You have a nod
within,
here?
It's within my spending authority, but we just want to let you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a very good idea. We should do it.
We have to do it, but I just wanted to let you know.
It's just notes.
I know, but yeah. Never mind. I mean, you would do it whether it's a five-level or six-level. If we only went in there with a five-level, you'd still do it.
I if you all don't give me authorization to do notice, I don't know that I would do notice regardless of what you guys said.
This isn't about that. This is about the five-level versus six.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
So she's sending it out both ways. And
I'll send it out both ways with a five-level profile. I'll send it out with a six-level profile. And when it comes in for public hearing, at that point, we'll have more details about the garage itself. And you
well,
can decide.
I know. That's why I'm saying, why don't we just do a five-level? Maybe we got agreement up here to just have that five-level. That would take some of that angst off the table of people when they see a six-level garage if you just send it out for five-level.
Well, I think
because
part,
I got a lot of...
Commissioner, but I don't think we can be afraid of the angst for having a discussion.
And I'm not that's afraid the, of angst.
I know, but that's the problem. That's sometimes that happens in this community. There are those who would create angst in this community rather than have a discussion. And I don't think we should be afraid to have the discussion or be ruled by bloggers.
Well, how about if I just say I don't want six levels, okay?
You've made that clear. Okay, and I think that's a very valid discussion.
And
that's a very valid point.
And that up here is what I'm saying.
Well, there will be a final vote on that at some point in time if this goes forward. Absolutely. So you have three nods, Dory.
Thank you. That's all I needed.
I'd like to make it clear that I am opposed.
Thank you. You did.
I'd just like to make a comment before we go down this road completely, because one of the things that I struggle with is that we're looking to give ourselves a variance to build something that we tell other people they can't build.
We are.
And so I wouldn't want to send out an advertisement that says we're going 20 feet higher than we're allowed to because we're the city and we got
to. That's what
you
do.
No, we're not doing that.
Well, that's what I want to
sending out a notice saying we are considering this.
Right?
And we're looking for public input. We send out the notice.
But this is just what I want to be careful of. I want to make sure we're not doing anything that we normally wouldn't let someone else.
Every developer who would come in with a project like this would need to probably apply for a comprehensive plan amendment to change the height map. We intend to do that. We're not bending any rules to do our own notice. We've never done that. So everything we have to do to make either of these options work, we're going to present to the community when we sit out the citywide notice. So you could expect that there would be a comprehensive plan amendment, which we do often, to look at a height map revision to allow for a six-level height map revision. If we can make a five-level work with what we have in code, we will, and we won't do that, but we'll offer both options up to the community so they're fully aware of what you all as a city commission will need to take under consideration upon adoption.
Okay, thank you, Dory. 11B, we are skipping 11A.
It was pulled
from the agenda. Yes, it was pulled.
Do you want a motion?
No, I want to hear the ordinance read first, if you don't mind.
Ready?
Yes, Mr. City Attorney. That was pulled.
No, just a quick question.
On Novus, sorry.
On the Novus?
Yeah.
Is that someone doing that for us so we know where we're at? Is that what's going on here?
Oh, on here?
Right, like my 11B just highlighted.
Yeah, they're doing that back there.
All
right. Mine did too.
Mine did.
Somebody else?
Me doing that.
They only do that for
and this.
People.
They think Carson. He's showing us where we are. No, but Greg is saying it's happening on his system.
Right. I thought someone was on.
So Patrick is somehow not. No, that's not happening. That's you. That's not happening. Mr. City Attorney, please read.
I think I saw.
Yes, sir. Ordinance number blank -18, an ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, vacating and abandoning a 15-foot easement granted to the City of Winter Park on October 17, 1995, recorded in Official Records Book 4964, page 2797, and Official Records Book 4971, page 4989 of the Public Records of Orange County, Florida, Exhibit A, particularly described in Exhibit B, providing for conflict, recording, and an effective date.
Excellent. Thank you.
Move to approve.
Second. Okay. Further discussion of the commission? We'll open the floor to public comment. Anybody wish to address the commission on item 11B? Now is your time. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. City, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilding?
Yes.
Mayor Larry?
Yes. Thank you. Mr. City Attorney, let me get to it. Sorry. We'll have a dual public hearing on this, please. The comp plan ordinance and the zoning ordinance, if you would read those.
Yes, sir. Ordinance number blank and ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58, Land Development Code, Article Roman Numeral 1, Comprehensive Plan, future land use map, so as to change the future land use designation of low-density residential to parking lot on a portion of the property at 301 North South Pennsylvania Avenue, more particularly described herein, providing for conflict, severability, and effective date. And ordinance number blank and ordinance amending Chapter 58, Land Development Code, Article Roman Numeral 3, zoning, and the official zoning map so as to change low-density residential R-2 zoning to parking lot PL district zoning on a portion of the property at 301 North Pennsylvania Avenue, more particularly described herein, providing for conflicts, severability, and an effective date.
Okay, folks, these are on second reading. Any questions for staff?
I just wanted to point out the commission asked us to adjust the effective date so it became effective when these things were built. City attorney had some improvements on my text, and that was put in front of you, so if you could just move it for the city attorney's version, that would be best.
Okay, as presented.
Move to approve as presented.
Second. Comp plan and zoning, both?
Comp plan and zoning.
Second, both. Excellent, thank you. Any questions for staff or comments? Okay, we'll open the floor to public comment. Anybody wish to address the commission on item 11C? Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Cindy, would you please read the roll on the comp plan, please, first?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilding?
Yes.
Mayor Mayor?
Yes. Now the ordinance, the zoning?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilding?
Yes.
Mayor Mayor?
Yes. Thank you. Mr. City Attorney?
Yes, sir.
11D, both, we're going to have a dual public hearing on this as well.
Yes, sir. Ordinance number blank and ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58, Land Development Code, Article Roman Numeral 1, Comprehensive Plan, Future Land Use Map, so as to change the future land use designation of medium-density multifamily residential to central business district on the properties at 218 South Pennsylvania Avenue and 217 Hannibal Square East, and from commercial to central business district on the property at 227 Hannibal Square East, more particularly described herein, providing for conflict, severability, and an effective date. And ordinance number blank and ordinance amending Chapter 58, Land Development Code, Article Roman Numeral 3, zoning, and the official zoning map so as to change medium-density multifamily residential R-3 district zoning to commercial C-2 district zoning on the properties at 218 South Pennsylvania Avenue and 217 Hannibal Square East, and to change from commercial C-3 to commercial C-2 on the property at 227 Hannibal Square East, more particularly described herein, providing for conflicts, severability, and an effective date.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. This is on second reading. Do you have a motion? I will move this.
Second.
I will move both.
Second.
Okay. Commission discussion. Mr. Seidel? No? Okay. Let's open up the floor to public. Oh, Commissioner?
No. I just wanted to say, I thought about what you said to me about on public property, on personal property, the last time we talked, because I had said I was concerned about the loss of parking in the area. And so I thought about that a little bit, and I realized the reason I feel comfortable in saying, yes, the impact on private property should be considered is because the private property owner is asking me to rezone something. If he were just accordance with code completely and not asking for a rezoning, then I would feel like maybe it wasn't appropriate. But because we are actually rezoning three pieces of property from a very low density to the highest density that we have in the city, I feel comfortable saying am I making a policy decision that is best for the entire area? And I think that aggregate gradual erosion of parking, loss of parking, isn't good. So I want you to know I respect what you said and I thought about it, and that's why I'm comfortable doing that, is because of the change in zoning and comp plan.
I appreciate that.
So I'm opposed to this. Thank you.
Okay. Well, let's open up the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the commission on item 11D? Now is your time. Okay, we'll close the floor to public comment. Cindy, would you please read the roll on the comp plan?
Commissioner Sedell?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
No.
Commissioner Walden?
Yes.
Mayor Perry?
Yes, and now regarding zoning.
Commissioner Sedell?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
No.
Commissioner Walden?
Yes.
Mayor Perry?
Yes, thank you. On the last item here, this is something I called back. And I just had some thoughts after we voted on this. We had imposed an arbitrary 45% coverage of a wall for a mural, which after driving down Fairbanks and I saw the Hunger Street Tacos building and they have a beautiful mural on the side, I think it's nice. And I said, I just kind of said to myself, well, you know, if someone doesn't like the mural, making it 45% instead of 100% is not going to make it better. And I just started thinking about what that 45% means. And are we trying to, are we trying to really gauge or impose taste values through size? And it just didn't seem to make any sense to me why we impose a 45% of limit on that.
Yeah, I thought that was the biggest sign you could have, was 45%.
It's actually on the mural now, too. The language is supposed to go into the mural portion.
But from the sign, so they just did it the same as the sign, if you want your sign to be a mural.
It is, but if someone wants it, but so
you can't,
we
can't
be commercial.
The mural cannot contain commercial content.
Yeah,
the mural cannot,
the
correct.
Mural cannot be a sign.
I did put up some pictures of what murals look like when they cover an entire wall, just for your reference.
Right, and there, so there in the bottom right, the nursing home, which they've done a really nice job of, and if we made that 45% of the wall, I actually think it would look worse.
Right? Are you still, are you comfortable with the first floor one?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I don't want it to be, I don't want three-story high murals, I don't think, unless someone came in for a special exemption and it was
awesome.
But I don't know, again, I just throw this out for discussion because the 45 just kind of caught me a little bit, and I'm not proposing I know how to handle this. I just looked at it and said, when you have murals like this that are nice,
well, the way to handle it is
you have them when
to remove
when not
the percentage.
Nice.
Right, or if you have, but then if you have something that's not nice,
right,
that's 100%,
we can't,
I agree.
Philosophically,
you can treat it like
my
a
point
sign.
Of view is clear. I think I made the motion, I think, to try to raise it from 45, realizing it was going to pass at some level. And I tried to raise it to 65 just to create a little more flexibility. My preference is that always is that more speech is better speech. And I don't particularly, want to be in the judgment business. And I don't think the city should be either. And if murals are a form of speech, and they are, and they're non-commercial, I think the city is actually benefited by the diversity of those murals, and that the size of them on a one-story facade is not material and will only be, selectively chosen. So that's my point of view. But if
well, I agree with that.
I don't think it's going to survive, but that's my point of view.
Well, my point of view was that I would like to allow them on areas outside of the central business district, and I would love to talk to you about perhaps at least being willing to allow them on areas outside of the Park Avenue corridor. I mean, that's going from here to here. I just know that they are speech. We cannot control them. Once they are allowed at whatever size in whatever location, we are not in a position to try to.
And they have been allowed up until this ordinance that we're passing.
We're saying is that we're going to treat them as signs.
Right, but you're saying you had a fear that once they're allowed, and I'm saying they have been allowed up until this day.
I don't want to ever get in the position of having to try to dictate taste. But if you just simply say something doesn't belong in this area, then you're not open to saying, I like that one and I don't like that one.
But I will tell you, Commissioner, that's the way this ordinance is written. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. City Attorney, but if someone wants to come in and propose something higher than 45%, they can do so with the city attorney's blessing. So in that way, we will be... With the commission's blessing, we will... What did I say?
City attorney.
Oh, sorry. With the city commission's blessing. So in that case, we will be approving or not taste.
No, we'll be taste.
Oh, sure.
It will be simply whether it's allowed or not. It's like taste.
Someone comes in and asks for 100% versus 45%. If someone comes in and says, I want to do a bigger sign than you're allowing, it will be taste.
I don't know.
Well, we haven't had a problem with it. I don't think it's going to be a problem. I'll move to remove the percentage limitation on murals.
I'll second that.
You mean not have anything in there?
There is none existing today.
I just kind of figure why fix a problem that doesn't exist.
Well, and that's then you would support what Commissioner Weldon and I are, or Vice Mayor Weldon and I are proposing. Because what exists today, before this ordinance was revised, or is proposed to be revised, there is no percentage.
That's true. I agree.
And why did we decide to make a rule about murals in the first place?
That's a very good question. Why was this?
Because they were totally unregulated, and we saw scenarios where they could cover three stories of a building with a mural.
I'm happy with one story. I'm happy them not being commercial, so I would remove just the 45%
allow what you see in the pictures.
So the motion is just to remove the 45%.
With, like, we have design guidelines, we have design standards and design guidelines for Park Avenue, would you be comfortable at least saying that they're allowed in places outside of the Park Avenue corridor? It is like a design guideline.
Doesn't the design guideline, within the Park Avenue corridor cover that then? Mr. Jeff, Briggs?
Do you understand the question?
Could someone do this within the
mural on Park Avenue?
Except Park Avenue because of design standards on Park Avenue? No, they can do it anywhere in the city. The design guidelines don't pertain.
I just remember I brought that up. They said, do you guys want to regulate them just in this area? And he said, no, we don't want to tell people what to draw on the murals. Remember that?
I don't recall
that. Oh, I would have never said that.
Where's the downtown core district that we would approve that. So, you guys said he didn't want to be in charge of approving the mural.
So, Commissioner, you can certainly have the ability to make an amendment to the motion that's on the table.
I do remember that, Greg. Mm-hmm. I remember. I was here.
Okay. We'll open up floor to public comment.
Folks. Mayor, would you like me to read it?
Sure. Thank you.
Sure. Ordinance number blank and ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Article 1, Rule 4, sign regulations of the City of Winter Park Land Development Code, to provide for the regulation of murals, providing for severability, codification, conflicts, and an effective date.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
So let's open up the floor to public comment then, based on that. Okay, seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Before she reads the roll,
sure.
I just wanted to make sure. So we're just
removing the percentage.
What does it say now? And there's nothing about the area.
It's one story.
It says the exact same thing, but no, 45% was removed.
No percentage limitation.
Right. So what I'm looking at in my novice is the old rule.
That's actually what you adopted, I think, in April. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right.
And what I think Jeff did is bring it back to the commission because of the discussion we previously had. So now you can make whatever change you choose to make. You can choose to make any change at all.
And the only change is removing the 45%. That's the motion on the table. Everything else remains.
45% and then the rest of it. So it's very,
short. Still would allow you to do above one story. So if you leave the remaining paragraph, the remaining sentence,
okay.
Then if somebody came in and wanted a two-story mural, you'd have that flexibility under that second sentence that would remain. The third sentence, I guess, here.
So then we would get to approve if we like it or not.
Something bigger than one story.
Right. They're allowed to go to one story without coming through us, but if they want to go to second or third, they'd have to come through us.
And so we're going to judge those
murals. No, I have. Here's what happens. I have no problem pulling that from the ordinance, but anyone who wants more than one story can always come to the commission and request.
That's what I just said.
Right.
With a period after
we become judges of the.
Hold on one second. And that was in there regardless. That was in there prior to any changes we're making here today.
What's that?
That still, anybody looking to do 45%, above 45%
right, to the commission. Right, I understand that. I just the argument if that we're going to get So we're just saying they can go up to one story and then...
And if they want to go bigger than one story, they've got to come before us.
And, okay.
All right.
Yep.
So to change this, wouldn't you just have a period after street and none of that, and shall not cover more than 45% of the first floor of that mm-hmm. lower side of the area?
And you remove the second sentence, too.
Remove that.
No, the second sentence.
Commissioner Weldon, the city commission may approve large murals on a case-by-case basis.
Because that would get you the second and third story murals.
If you'd listen, the motion that's on the table right now, as for Mr. Weldon's, was removing the 45%. If you'd like to make an amendment to that motion, we can certainly hear that.
I would like to move to delete the sentence that begins, the city commission may approve larger murals on a case-by-case basis.
Second. Okay.
I would also like to make a motion that says that murals in the Park Avenue corridor require the approval of the city commission.
Then you are arbitrary.
Oh, man, we are getting into this.
Do we have a second for that?
I would like to say...
That failed for lack of a second?
I would like to make a motion that says murals are allowed only on properties outside of the Park Avenue corridor.
Commissioner, we'll not take that into consideration. That's just a rewording of your previous motion.
No, my previous one was the Central Business District. I'm now talking about narrowing it down to the Park Avenue corridor to see if I could get you to agree to that.
Okay. We will hear that then. I apologize. I thought you
That's
were
all right. No. I can get even smaller.
Okay, that fails for lack of a second. That fails for lack of a second.
I'd like to form a mural task force to handle this for us.
Okay. The job of mural czar will be put on the books. Okay, Cindy, would you please read the roll first on the amendment to the motion? The amendment to the motion is to remove the second sentence. Sorry, folks, let me just finish this up here. The city commission that will be removing that sentence.
Do we need to have public discussions on the amendment?
We've already had public discussions.
Nobody chose to speak.
No, for the amendment.
We do not, we do not have to continue to reopen the floor. I'm sorry, sir, the floor is closed. Okay? Cindy, please read the roll on the amendment, which is to remove the second sentence. The city commission may approve large amendments.
Commissioner Seidel?
No.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
No.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Welling?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
You guys are killing me.
On the fence here.
You're bizarre.
Anyone can always come and ask. That's why I figure it doesn't have to be in there.
No. That fails.
Okay.
And now on the main motion, which is to remove the percentage qualifier.
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
No.
Commissioner Weldon?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you.
That was a weird vote.
Okay. Mr. Seidel, you have the floor, sir.
I wanted to bring back up on the budget question again, and here's why. Let's just say Commissioner Weldon comes in and says, I want to drop the millage rate three points, and he gets seconded, right? And so here we are in a scenario where we can't go any higher, but we haven't debated amongst ourselves what's in the budget yet. And so that's my point about this process, is this process doesn't give us time and the information to make a good decision on our millage rate. And that's, I believe, so I wanted to lower it before, and I'm like, we haven't even debated it yet. And it's like, how can we lower it when we haven't debated what's in it?
If I wasn't comfortable with where I was going with the budget, I would agree with you. But I think each of us has some ideas about what we prioritize in the budget, and we
right,
get to
but I
air those out. We get to air those before the millage rate discussion next
in
meeting.
One session, which means you don't get a chance to go back and do any research and say, well, you know what Commissioner Weldon said really makes sense, and now I understand it. I didn't understand it in the 5 minutes. He said, look, if we do this, this, and this, we're done, and we don't tax anybody. You know, so that's my point about it, is that it's difficult to make that decision, which is a big decision, in a short time frame. It's in my mind right now, it's okay, if someone came in 2 weeks from now, and you guys vote to lower the millage rate, and we've just had this little discussion on, well, here's what I want to cut out.
Well, I'll tell you that I have never turned down, and I hope I never have to, for scheduling reasons, an opportunity to meet with any other member of the commission, and hopefully all members of the commission, to speak about whatever, you know, whatever any other commission member cares about.
So that's my point about it, is that it doesn't really give us the opportunity.
What do we do about your point? I mean, is there anything we can do?
Well, let's just say we got the proposed budget 2 weeks ago, and then we could talk about millage rates at this meeting, and then that gives us a chance to come back 2 weeks later and say, you know what, Mr. Walden was right.
So next budget session.
But the challenge with that is we don't get the property tax numbers till July 1st, the official property tax numbers. So it's very...
It's a crunch for them to put together by the way.
I hear your point, but I also take Vice Mayor Weldon's point too, which is we pretty much have... If someone came in and said, I want to raise the millage rate or drop the millage rate anywhere off what's being presented in the initial budget, I think we would all have a pretty good understanding of where we are prior to that meeting anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah. At the risk, well, however, that did happen last year because Greg wanted to raise it last year. He wanted to lower it. So they're bringing up a good point in the sense that they've both been on both sides of it. The rest of us were pretty clear. So can't we just solve this with some kind of a...
Well, the problem is...
I wanted to evaluate raising it. Let's make sure I state it clearly. This is an evaluation. This isn't...
Mayor, you do have the statutory right, if after you've had that first reading,
sure,
to increase it. But it's an expensive proposition because you have to do a citywide mailing.
Well, and I think that's probably the reason.
But that would be your safety valve.
In the... I sound like my dad. In the good old days, the commission would set a tentative millage rate higher than they anticipated setting the actual millage rate.
Right.
They gave them flexibility all the way through the budget process.
Right.
They almost always lowered it to the old rate.
That but would be one way to get people to the
commission. I think that's what I said. Right.
But the commission had flexibility. We had a hurricane, and they decided to raise the millage rate 1 year.
Okay.
I'm just sharing that. I mean, that's, to me, it's awesome. I try to do the right thing.
I want to communicate more.
I like Randy's good old days because I guarantee we get people in here we haven't seen before in our entire 10 years.
We did in those days. Right. It was the same. Okay. It didn't change it at all.
Anything else? Mr. Seidel.
That's out for tonight. Thank you.
Ms. Spring.
Well, I will just say that I really did enjoy July the 4th, and thank you all for what you did. But July the 4th, to actually have 19 citizens from 11 different countries take their oath right here in our city was a really wonderful experience because you got to feel a little bit about what they felt. And you all know I wasn't here 2 weeks ago because it was the first time I've ever been to visit the Slavic countries. I did not appreciate nearly enough what we have in this country because everywhere I went, whether I was in Slovakia or I was in Hungary, every country I was in, they spoke so much about democracy and spoke so much against communism. And this was a tourist thing, but everybody talked about it. Everybody talked about what it was like under the old regime. It was a gift we gave ourselves to go there and feel that. And just getting home and then watching those people hold their hands up and take that oath was just very meaningful for me. And then on top of that, coming back and then seeing what's happened with these boys in Thailand and how they're getting them out of this cave and how the whole world, not just the country, but the whole world watches this and gets behind it and just feels it. It just is one of those things that makes you feel more like you're part of one country or one world, and that's all.
Makes you want to watch the news again a little bit, right?
Well, Steve, I read the paper and watch the news, unlike you. He fusses at me because I always ask him if he read this in the paper. He says, I don't like that.
Commissioner Cooper.
I wanted to ask about the flight path. I'm getting lots of comments and concerns from people that don't normally talk to me, and they're very concerned about there appears to be a change in flight paths. Can you update me on that and what, if anything, we could do? I mean, we do resolutions for racetrack
service station, so maybe we could do a resolution for the flight path. But I need to understand. I don't understand yet what the, do you know what the facts are?
Well.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see the planes are on top of my house.
Well, they will tell you they haven't changed the flight path, but I mean, and they do it based on.
But they, there's a program.
There's a program called Next, Next Era, Next Something.
Yeah.
That they're using to analyze the flight paths at all airports, not just this one.
And it may change them to
and it could change.
Disadvantage of
the airport. And the purpose of that is to reduce the amount of fuel that gets used, and you know, it's a whole bunch of criteria. It's not all about noise and that type of
thing. Can we ask the question, though?
It has been.
I've been asked that question, too. Can we at least find out?
We could have possibly get them to do a presentation. Carolyn Fennell lives in Winter Park.
Wonderful.
She's our communications.
She would be, I'm sure, very happy to come to her home community and do that.
Right.
And when I first went on the commission, someone on Lake Virginia called me about that because they were highly concerned. And I did make the call, and I did find out what they told me then, but that was a few years ago. And that first thing they said was, you have absolutely no control over it because you do not own those skies, okay?
Right. We don't.
So that was the first thing that I learned, that we did not control it. And the second thing was that if we just go to Carolyn, she will give us what the...
Let's get the understanding
all right.
first.
But
if,
can we advertise it? Because people are really concerned. I just love people to know she's going to be here speaking if we can get a heads up. You know,
so why don't we find out what she's willing to do and what she's willing to present before we do anything?
And it may not be her, but she may get us the right person.
It's fine.
Wonderful.
Thank
that was
you.
All I was concerned about. Thank
sure.
you.
Okay. Vice Mayor Weldon. Anything else, Karen?
No, thank you.
You know, just a reflection on your remarks, Commissioner. I didn't attend this, you know, 4th of July celebration, but your comments reminded me of some comments I think I made early on in my tenure here, and that was, why is this dais above the people that we serve? We should be inverting this stage that we sit at, and our speech is effectively their speech, and they elect us to speak for them. Yeah, so why we're up here and they're down there, I have no idea, frankly. And, you know, the fact that anybody in the city of Winter Park who's an elector, I guess, I think is the limitation, can get 25 people to sign a name on a piece of paper and run for office and express themselves. And that's a wonderful reality that we all live with. Secondly, as you know, I've been, I've been trying to bring forward the Blue Bamboo. You know, I'm trying to see if I can get some love on the commission for them. They've got a free show tomorrow night. Chris Cortez, the fellow who runs it, is a brilliant musician in my view, and he's got a free show tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. If you'd be willing to come by there and, you know, listen and think and see if you value it as highly as I do, I think it might be worthy of our support to some level, not necessarily to the level they're requesting. That's it.
Okay, I have nothing. So we'll open up the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the commission on any item that was not on the agenda, including budget comments? Now is your time.
Sean Schaefer.
Hello, Sean.
Winter Park Public Library, 460 East New England Avenue. I hear I have an address. Oh, am I 1050 Morris Avenue. Appropriate that you discuss the budget today, and thank you for your kind words about how we try to hold the line at the library. We just finished publishing our last year's annual report, and I wanted to give you a copy. And again, thank you for your support of the library, because we certainly couldn't do all of this without you. So,
thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Hey, how's the reading thing going this year? The reading challenge this summer.
5,000
books today. Oh, wow, that's great.
Your books because we want to.
Yes, cool.
Mr. McMack.
Thank you, sir. Tom McMack in 1821 Shiloh Lane. If I can follow up on your comment, Vice Mayor, I think it's fabulous that citizens can come and petition their elected officials in an open forum like this. So I appreciate that very much about this country. You know, I have this habit of following the agenda, just I don't know why, but they're hard to break. And I think I missed the agenda item where the property behind me was rezoned to a Motel 6.
Yeah, you did.
Now, I'm being a little facetious, but since January 1, that single-family residence has been rented out daily, weekly, and for all I know, hourly. And, you know, it's not so much that it's being rented out and it's a private, it's...
Where?
I have filed a code violation that's on record. You know, it's the size of the groups. I mean, the sorority group that was there was fun. They all got drunk by midnight and went to, you know, that was okay. And the three families that were there with the little kids were kind of like Ann and I, in fact, that by 9 o'clock they were tired and they all went to bed. But over the 4th of July, I lost count after 15 people. Wow. And they were singing karaoke very badly late in the evening. I finally, in the first time in 30 years, called the police department. They fortunately came out and stopped the music, however the karaoke continued, to which I wound up sleeping in the family room that night because that was the only place in the house that you couldn't hear that. I have reported that to code enforcement because I believe that short-term rentals by the day or by the week are in violation of our codes. And so I believe that I've done everything by the book. And I can't believe I'm the only one in the city of Winter Park that's been facing this. And I don't know if maybe there's something that we can do as a city, as a commission, as a staff or whatever, to think outside the book. Because I'm afraid if we're waiting on Tallahassee or somebody to make some kind of decision, we're not going to get there. And I don't know, you know, what we're doing, what we can do, or what is there a way to address this.
It's all about enforcement. We have the rules.
And I don't know what and Vice Mayor, I don't know what all that enforcement is, but I can tell you that when I first sat on P&Z 25 or some years ago, the then head of that said, you know, the business of Winter Park is homes. And when you're turning one of those homes into a Motel 6, that's bad for business. And I've never stood before you as a private citizen and really complained, but I'm here as a private citizen to say, I think we got to do something more than what we're doing. And I put that out because, again, I can't believe I'm the only one that's going through this. And I think it's affecting my property values. I don't know if somebody, if I was trying to sell my house and they showed up in a day when they're, you know, singing karaoke in the backyard poorly, that's affecting me as a property owner. And I'm hoping there's something we can do as a city to address that. And I appreciate your time and your service. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. I will tell you that there are private groups too, and we're looking at things.
Okay, fantastic.
But the legislature is not your friend on this.
I know that they're not our friend on that one at the moment. And again, that's why I'm saying I don't know if there's something, I don't know whether we charge for when we call police to go out to something like that. If there's something that, whatever it might be, I don't know. But I think we need to, as a city, think outside the box because Tallahassee, I don't think, is going to help us anytime soon. But
thanks, Tom.
Again, thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Todd Weaver, 1051 Lake Bell Drive, and I wasn't going to speak, but since Mr. McMacken got up, I wanted to touch that subject as well. I read Mayor Leary's article, which was quite good, I thought, recently, and we have probably 10 Airbnbs operating in my neighborhood right now, and what Orlando and I believe Osceola County and quite a few other municipalities did around the country, they reached a compromise on this. And what they did is people that are basically homesteaded on their homes, they're allowed to have short-term rentals. And the absentee landlords tend to be the problem. I have one next door that's quite similar to what Tom described. And it's a 1,300 square foot house, and I've counted as many as 17 people there, 8 cars out front, the mail truck couldn't deliver to my mailbox and so forth. So as a compromise, I'd like to have the commission think about a compromise like that, because I believe property owners that are on site can manage that and take some of the burden off the fire chief and his staff and code enforcement. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, folks, thank you all for being here tonight, and we appreciate all the work, staff, specifically on the budget in July 4th. Thank you all for representing so well. Good evening.